Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio, and this week we are studying the life and the ministry of John the Baptist. And I said yesterday we can learn so much in the Church of Jesus Christ today about the character of what the minister should be, about what the church should be, about the mission of the church in just studying the life of John the Baptist. There is a statement here that's given by John in chapter 3 that summarizes really everything we're considering this week. Something that John said, "He must increase and I must decrease." Jesus Christ must increase, but I must become nothing. This is the character of what the pastor should be. And we set that in contrast yesterday by looking at that Wall Street Journal article of that young man who wrote, really lamenting the state of Christianity, lamenting what he called hipster Christianity, that we are so in fear of losing young people, so in fear of making our church relevant, fear of becoming irrelevant, that we're doing anything we can to make us cool, to make us hip. And that is not what this is about. We're not hip to the world. We're not hip to our young people. We're bringing a message that is foolishness, and we're bringing a message that is hard-hitting, and we're calling people to come to Jesus Christ. John teaches us the results of the ministry are all his. And we have to learn this today. We think too much that the results and what happens and the tally of numbers we get of people who make the commitment, we write down so-and-so, we had 30 people say the yes to the sinner's prayer or whatever. We tally all that down and we've forgotten. We've forgotten the Holy Spirit. We've forgotten what the ministry is. We have one task. That is that we be faithful to the calling of preaching the word in season, out of season, decreasing ourselves through that so that sinners would come and that they would see Jesus, that sinners would believe in him, that sinners would come to him, and that all the glory would be taken away from us and be on his, so that people believe in him unto everlasting life. That's the goal of ministry. That's what John the Baptist's ministry teaches us. Well, we studied that yesterday, and in John chapter 3, remember what we were studying. Then, this is verse 25, there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you've testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." Now, you heard the problem. Put it in perspective. John was this powerful preacher. He had huge success in the long course of his ministry. Multitudes came from Jerusalem and all over the region to be baptized by him, to listen to him, to hear this fiery preacher. He was the most popular, powerful preacher of the day. Jesus has come now. What's happened? People are leaving John. They're going to Jesus. They're walking away from John. And his disciples, John's disciples, are really troubled. What's going on here? Put a stop to this. This can't go on, John. Crowds are leaving you. They're flocking to Jesus. Why are they going away to this Jesus? And our following is shrinking. Something must be wrong. You see, what's happened? Mass jealousy. And they're stirring up John. Your ship is sinking. People aren't coming to you anymore. You're not relevant anymore, John. They're leaving to this Jesus. Put a stop to this. Rebuke him. Everything has come crashing down on the most powerful preacher of the day, and he's about ready to be beheaded. So this is from glory to nothing, you know? Look, this is an important point. This famous, mighty preacher is going to end his life forgotten as a nobody, murdered with little following. Do you know what a blow that is to a preacher's pride? Oh, yes. We all have pride. We all want to be liked. In fact, what do we do when someone wants to leave the church and they want to attend another faithful church? You can't do that. We're the only true church. And we beat people over the head with that. Sure, people should be faithful and loyal where they are, especially if the ministry of the word's being preached. But the point is our actions in response to that really show our pride. Deep down, it's a blow because we're hurt that they don't like our preaching. I've always said, if someone really can't stand the ministry of the LURC, no one's forcing hands. We want people who want to be here. Can you imagine if people felt forced? What does Psalm 110 say? He will have willing servants in the day of his power. People should be joyful and happy and desirous to come and listen to the word preached. Forcing hands turns into straight legalism. So what does John do? Does John get discouraged? Does he try to put a stop to this? Does he put a hold on them? No. Does he just quit and go out to the Mediterranean on a vacation? Does he say, well, God doesn't need me anymore? This is his life. Put yourself in John's shoes. He once had a blossoming audience and church attendance. And now what? The disciples come to him and they're mad. They're all leaving us to this Jesus. And what was John doing? John is continuing, my friends, to baptize. That's the point I want to make. This is not a justification that we can just walk around to any church we want. The point is that the effects of the ministry are the Lord's. The results of the ministry are the Lord's. That's what I'm saying. And John has this perspective. Even though he has few, he's still baptizing. He's still doing what the Lord has called him to do. And John corrects his disciples by explaining this, by saying, look, you're all wrong, brothers. This is all of the Lord. He gives the results. It's always been that way. It always will be that way. John says in verse 27, a man can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven. Do you hear his answer? Anything we have comes from the sovereignty of God. I was never baptizing and preaching in my own power. None of those who ever sat under my ministry came by my wisdom and my craftiness and my great abilities to woo and to tell stories and to entertain. No. They came at that time because they were given from heaven. They were wooed by the Father, and I gave the straight word of God to them. You see? What a perspective about the ministry, isn't it? And about all of life. There are ups and downs. There are crises. There are times of real success, outwardly speaking, and joys in the ministry. And there are seasons of real disappointment. Whatever it is, John's perspective is so right. It's all given from heaven. All the souls who are coming, all of those who hear, they come to hear the voice. We don't control that. And we never should manipulate that. And I've said on Abounding Grace, that has been the greatest tragedy today. We're so obsessed with numbers. We're so addicted to growth. All we care about is getting them in anyway, so they're just in. That is wrong. You know, I love the analogy. You know, you think about it. I have to go and I have to eat. I don't give visitors chocolate cake when they come over. They have to eat the peas first, right? You've got to have substance. The point is, we cannot manipulate to try to win souls. That is wrong. The results are not ours or by our own efforts. We need to remember this. Salvation is of the Lord. There will be periods of weariness. There will be periods of blessing. There will be good or adversity. It all comes from the Lord. Job, shall we not accept also the adversity? Remember, Job said that. Now, we need to remember all of this in a day when we rarely think of what the purpose is and why we exist as a church and have a ministry. John answers by saying, any ministry we have, the results are from heaven. But brothers, you're forgetting who this is about. And notice what he does. Verse 28, You yourselves bear me witness that I said I'm not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. Remember back in chapter 1, everyone wanted to know who John was because he was so influential and was such a powerful preacher. John was plain. Who are you? First thing he said, he confessed, and he did not deny, John 1, but he confessed, I am not the Christ. Well, are you the prophet? No. Are you Elijah? I am not. Who are you? I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. What was the voice to do? It was to cry in the barren wilderness. All flesh is as grass. You're all perishing. But there's good tidings. That's what gospel is. It's good news. It's good tidings. Repent, believe, and you will be saved. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was pointing to Jesus Christ. Who are you, though? I'm just the voice. I'm just the voice. I'm the lowly messenger who just announces what the king wants me to say. You see, if it were our message, we could do whatever we want with it. But my friends, it's not. That's why our stories, our antidotes, are so inappropriate for preaching. God's given us a big book to preach. You got a lot of stories in there. Tell those. Preach those. Why are we embarrassed of those? See, that gauges the truthfulness of the one who speaks to you and tests the validity of the witness. What is his role? What is his message? John says, I'm just the voice. You see, that's the great error. That is contrary, that goes on. Too many pastors love to put themselves in the position of Jesus Christ to receive the glory. And there are a lot of men in churches today who stand up at the front and they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. John said, I'm not even worthy to loose the straps on his sandal. I'm no better than a slave. That's one way of validating what you're hearing. Does the minister lead you to Jesus Christ or to himself? You see, that's what John says in verse 29. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase and I must decrease. Oh, that we would hear John. The one to whom the people come is the bridegroom, and he has them. That's Jesus Christ. They're his. They're hearing his voice. And what do you think our ministry is? It is to see them come to the bridegroom. That's why we labor. That's why we exist. We are his friends. And we stand excited that the sheep hear his voice and not our voice. We're just the voice of him. Our whole purpose in the ministry is to make him known so much so that people don't even see us, that we descend out of the picture and he becomes the whole object of their following. That's what we're set apart to do, to drive people to Jesus Christ, to present him, that they would come to him. And when that happens, says John, our joy is fulfilled. We've completed the task. We've run the race well. Beloved, my friends, that's the ministry. That's what ministry is, to exalt Christ so that we, the ministers, would decrease and that he would increase in your hearts. So we've got to listen carefully to this. Who are we hearing? Are we hearing men teach us to tickle our ears, or Jesus Christ, who is the one who gives us life? Abounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you, a blog to interact with and articles to read. Also, give us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.